So, what did you think of that?
Oh, man, that was great. That was Otis Redding. I can't turn you loose.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch it again because I saw her do that, but it went by so fast.
I know. That's why this is why this song has over 1 million views on YouTube.
Because
of the good God part.
I'm going to have to watch that part again.
So did you know that song had lyrics?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact.
Most people on the comments didn't know that.
No, everybody knows it as the Blues Brothers theme for when they would take the stage.
Yeah.
But I think I first heard, I knew it was an Otis Redding song, but I think the first time I heard it was, actually, it was used in an episode of KRP.
Oh, yeah? Which episode?
It was, I think it was, if I recall, I think it was when Carlson, Mr. and Mrs. Carlson, were going to renew their wedding vows.
Well.
And Herb threw a bachelor party, and this was playing on the air. And at this one point, you see, it's Johnny and these strippers that he had hired.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny and this stripper are up on top of the desk, and they're kind of hip bumping. To that. And that's the first time I was like, oh, that's I Can't Turn You Loose.
Matter
of fact, I have that downloaded on the iTunes. So.
This song?
Yeah.
That sound different from this live
version?
Yeah,
it's slower.
Because in this version, it was recorded in 66 on a TV show from England called Ready, Steady, Go.
Ready, Steady, Go. You've told me about that.
Mm-hmm. They were really big about getting super popular people. Even the Beatles were on there.
And they hated it.
Yeah.
So that was 1966. Mm. Ready, Steady, Go.
Yeah, and then in the 80s, of all people to buy the rights to that was Dave Clark.
Oh, yes.
And he started making money off Ready, Steady, Go. And then all these artists are like, wait a minute, that's my performance. Where's my money? Where's my royalties from that Mr. Dave Clark? So they kind of pulled it off there, off Disney, because it was on Disney there.
Yeah.
But they're that for a short time. I got to saw some Ready, Steady, Go. But they're in there for a short time. Like, it was always the same show over and over again. I always saw the same one with Dusty Springfield. That one guy that sings one of the songs we hate.
Yeah. Georgie Fame.
That was on Ready, Steady, Go. And I think the Beatles might were on that episode. But it seemed like that's the only one they would show there after a while.
And you said for a while they showed that on Disney?
Yep.
Really?
The time when we had free Disney. You know, you had to pay for Disney, but then on the weekends, they get that free weekend.
Oh, yes, I remember.
They would show a lot of Ready, Steady, Go.
I knew they would do that, but I remember them doing those trial runs, I guess you could call them. But we already had Disney. Mom and Dad already were paying for it.
Oh, for you.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That was nice. I enjoyed the good old Disney.
Except for you and me, kid.
Just you and me, kid.
We'll spin you round and round. Sorry for people with headphones.
And then this isn't Disney, but remember our little, we made fun of this. Today's special, give me a gun.
I
remember watching that on Nickelodeon, that and Pinwheel.
I sing Pinwheel.
Pinwheel, spinning around. Look. My job, my pinwheel. The fell on the ground. Brought to you by our friends. Brought to you by our friends at Fine Fair Supermarkets. We have pinwheels too. Yeah.
So I thought we would have to start the show. You can't just lead up to the show to Can't Turn You Loose. You have to just start the show with.
Well, yeah,
I mean
that's the whole intent. Like I say, for the Blues Brothers, obviously using that as their theme.
Yeah.
So that's killer. I've always loved that.
Did you like this live version? You said, yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Oh. That was great. High power, high energy.
I just don't like the way. I mean, whoever edited this video is.
You know, there is a Booker T. Of course, Booker T. and the MGs, they played on a lot of Otis sessions because Otis was a Memphis guy, just like them.
Oh.
They were the MGs were kind of the house band for Stax Records in Memphis, and there is an MGs song. It's a great instrumental, and you've probably heard it. It's called "Time Is Tight." Very similar to that.
Really,
same. Pretty much, bass line's very similar. Oh, there's two versions. There's two different versions. But it's real similar to that. And at one point, I was going to do that for verses. I was going to do both verses of both versions. Pardon me, of "Time Is Tight" by the MGs.
Tight by Booker T and the MGs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there is another version that has an extended part to it, which is actually even better than this.
Okay, I'll have to check that out later.
So that might be on Versa. I might have to rework some things and get that on Versus at some point.
Oh, look who came up here.
Yeah, Gene McDaniels.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
That wasn't going to be my Versus for this month, but it may be now.
So. Did you see that thing I posted on the podcast? The description I put, Gene McDaniels goes to Mars.
Gene McDaniels goes to Mars, what? Yes. I laughed when I read that because you featured him and I featured Mars, the Bringer of War from The Planets by Gustav Holst.
Because sometimes, actually, I just get done editing the thing, right? And I load it up to our server, our Podomatic, yeah, thank you. And then I'm like, wait, what did Steven have? What did I have? My memory. So then I was like, wait, he had something called Mars, and I had Gianna goes to Mars. That's it. Okay.
There you go. Well, that worked.
So, very cool. So, what do we call this podcast?
Well, for all of you listening, this is Hatman and Harwood's Little Red Light Songs, Have a Hate of Music.
You don't have a hate. I just want to thank all the people in Russia and Denmark who listen to us.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's really strange, but thank you so much. Write us, please.
I might be about 3% either Northwest Russian or Finnish, actually.
Have you done that chromosome thingy yet?
I did the Amazon. I did the ancestry test, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
That's what it said?
It said I think there was about 3% possibly Northwest Russia / Finland, so.
Weird. Weird, weird, weird.
Where's Jack Kenny when you need him?
All right, so I already did my song, so what do you have for us tonight?
Oh, yeah, give me a minute. Well, you know, last month we listened to classical music.
Yeah.
I've been kind of on my... I've been revisiting some of the classical music that I have long loved.
Yep.
And I'm going to play you a piece tonight. This is actually one I just heard. I'm going to have to say, heard it for the first time, even though I had it on the Classical Thunder set that I had on cassette tape 21 years ago.
Is the ones you just skipped?
Probably.
Yeah,
and I don't know why I did.
Mars.
I'm crazy about that one.
Skip Jupiter. I'm going Saturn.
Yeah. This is by, let's see here. Give me just a minute. I'm pulling up the Infomomation.
Today on Infomomation.
Today, President Reagan. Hi, I'm Ed Lear.
And,
Or let's see. No, it was Ed McNeil and Jim Lehrer, that's who it was.
And I'm Jim Lehrer. Prices of dog food goes up, cats are furious. I don't think that's exactly what I said, but...
cats everywhere are furious or something like
Wait,
that.
Why would cats be mad, though? Is that what I said, really?
Yeah.
Prices of dog food goes up.
Cats everywhere are furious.
I thought it was funny. I still think it's funny.
I do, too.
But I just realized what I said.
That was great. Good old Tomorrow is Whenever. I missed that.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was that thing we did on the YouTube.
It was kind of a spinoff of the Richard Nixon show.
Yeah,
it never quite took off, but...
It was hard.
It was hard to do, because you made the film quality look all grainy.
Yeah, but just...
Like you were watching
pretending to do
tape.
The news is really hard. Those newscasters, they really have a hard job.
Yeah, they do, because we were just really kind of flying off the seat of our pants.
Yeah.
Like we normally do.
Yeah, but that was hard.
We have flown off the seat of our pants so many times that we have no pockets.
And no pants.
No pants. We have no pants pockets. Okay. Back to the piece here. We're going to listen to a piece from...
Porky's.
Meatballs.
But that's where he pees.
He made his
face. Well, this is movies.
Yeah. Okay. Tonight we're going to listen to a piece called Circuses.
Circuses.
Mm-hmm. This is from the Roman Festivals, which is a symphonic tone poem by the Italian composer Arturino Respighi.
Mm. Say that third time.
Arturino Respighi.
Say that
Arturino
third time.
Respighi. Arturino Respighi.
I guess you can.
He was born on July 9th, 1879. in an apartment inside Palazzo Fantuzzi on Via Guido Reni in Bologna, Italy.
Bologna? Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep, B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
That's amazing.
And Respighi.
Probably pronounced Bologna or so.
Bologna. Bologna. That's very, almost kind of, right, forget it. where is it? He passed away in 1936.
Wow.
If I can find where. He died in January 1936. He died of endocarditis on April 18th, 1936, at the age of 56. I believe that is...
It was a very old...
That's inflammation of the inner layer of the heart, the endocardium.
That's not cool.
Yeah. And you have not had anything quite like that, but you've had some heart issues in the past.
Yeah, I did. I still do.
But
I'll be okay.
Well, thank God for that. Yes.
Send me money. No.
This the Roman Festivals is the third orchestral work in his Roman trilogy, preceded by The Fountains of Rome in 1916 and The Pines of Rome in 1924. Each of the four movements depict a scene of celebration from ancient or modern Rome. It is the longest and most demanding of this trilogy, and thus it is less often programmed than its companion pieces. Its premiere was performed by the New York Philharmonic Orchestra under the direction of Arturo Toscanini in 1929.
Wow.
Now, speaking of Toscanini, you know, there's a gentleman in town who started a music store, Jensen's Music Store. This gentleman's name is Al Jensen. He's a Juilliard-trained oboe player.
Really?
Yes. And at one point, I believe back in the 40s, or probably the later 40s, early 50s, Al Jensen was a he played oboe for the NBC Symphony Orchestra.
Really?
Under the direction of Arturo Toscanini.
Oh wow.
I've always been very impressed by that.
Wow.
But we have a gentleman here in town that actually played under the baton of the great Toscanini, who was a famous, very famous conductor.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
The first movement we're going to listen to is called Circuses or Circenses, C-I-R-C-E-N-S-E-S. Let me read this to you. The first movement, Circuses, depicts the ancient contest in which gladiators battle to the death with the sound of trumpet fanfares. That's pretty close, actually. Oh. Strings and woodwind chants suggest the plain chant of the first Christian martyrs, which are heard against the snarls of the beasts against which they are pitted. The movement ends with violent orchestral chords, complete with organ pedal, as the Christian martyrs succumb. This is very violent music.
I'm ready for it.
So this is from the Roman Festivals by Arturino Respighi. This is Circus Maximus.
Thank you.
So while the song was playing, my son comes in and tells us goodnight. And Steven said,
I said, Sam, listen to this music. What do you think this, what does this music make you think of?
And he said, lions.
I mean, immediately he said, it sounds like lion.
And he didn't hear us do the intro because he was getting his bath. So he obviously instantly thought of lions.
Yeah, I was like, that's very good. Mm-hmm. I would like to say very quickly, that was the Philadelphia Orchestra under the direction of Eugene Ormandy.
Very and, good. I like that.
Oh, gosh. I do. I've been listening to that a whole lot.
That part where he goes, da-da. You know, well, the
those
at the very end
accents,
yeah,
dun 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 da 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 da.
That is almost that's supposed to where on Star Trek: The Next Generation, right when the biggest cliffhanger in TV history, same music right there almost.
I wonder who wrote the music for Next Generation.
I would have to look it up. I don't know.
Well, I think I was reading that John Williams was actually inspired by a lot of Respighi's music.
Oh, yeah. I could hear that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Holst. Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about that, I think. Holst with Mars, the bringer of war. Right? Yeah.
This was man. Yeah, so.
The first Roman Christian emperor.
Yeah.
Constantine.
All right. So I'm going to close out with this last two-minute part of Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Okay.
And so if somebody wanted to take you to the circus, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, you can get, pardon me, you can get a hold of me at my terrible email address, PProfessorSH83@gmail.com. And Jason, if someone can't turn you loose, how can they get a hold of you?
Oh, they get a hold of me at GoodNightSleepyHeadShow@gmail.com. All right, a clip, because I'm playing this clip, because it sounds, the music we just heard from Steven sounds, this is must where they got, oh, no, wait. This is where they were inspired by Steven's song. Here. Well, let's take a listen.
Hey girl, I bet you there's someone out to get you. You'll find him anywhere, on a bus, in a bar, in a grocery store. Yeah.